You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Years after the country woke up to the news that there had been some kind of plane event in New York City, and I think most of us kind of that are old enough to remember it, about a plane hitting during World War II, I want to say it's B-17 or something, hitting the Empire State Building. And I was surprised when I finally, I'd heard it. I was like, well, wow, that's, like, why would a plane, right, be that low in Manhattan? You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then I thought, well, it must be really bad weather. Somebody must have got screwed up. And then turned on the, when I finally saw a television, you know, it's a crystal clear blue sky day. And so you're like, what the hell? And then, you know, standing there listening to people talk about what they'd reported, that it was that it wasn't like a small plane. It was a large plane. And you're like, what? And then, I mean, was the experience of standing there. And I think, you know, a lot of Americans had it, you know, didn't see the first one. And the video, the second plane rolling in. And just that realization that somebody did this on purpose. Like, holy shit. And so 18 years ago today, and all the terrible memories that go with that day, from, you know, watching people jump out of buildings to the later on hearing the audio of their goodbyes to the people that they loved, the first responders all day. Still look back at that, you know, with incredible pride. You know, for those of us who've been around the world, you go to other countries, and when the military gets called out, you know, I mean, it makes a difference. Are you in our tribe or are you not? It makes a difference in the way that we treat you. And, if you listen to the audio of the 9/11 logs, right, the calls that got placed, you hear every accent in the world. In this incredible experiment in democracy, trying to help. You know, nobody's asking what religion anybody is. Nobody's asking what color somebody is. You know, all you're seeing is people come and risk their lives to help other people. And you know, you look back on that and, you know, you want to know what America is, what, you know, what America stands for. It's not, as I say often, it's not what you see on the nightly news, that bullshit, right, designed to get you to watch or click on it so they can make money off our asses. That is not America, trust me. I've lived in America for 61 years, and I've lived all over this country. Started when I was a little kid, moving around summers, almost someplace different, following my dad's baseball career. And I've continued that as an adult, first in the Marine Corps, and then, you know, I lived in a part of the country I never lived in, and that was right on the North Dakota-Minnesota border. And that's what our country is. Our country is incredible people in spite of what others would tell you. And so today, you know, when I think about it, I think about where I was that morning and how that day would change my life, how it would change the life of my family, and, you know, how those changes would echo through my life all these years later, you know. So, and I think a lot of the same thing for all of my peers. You know, we all went to war, and stayed at war, and are still at war, and have had all the experiences that go with it, to include this, to include post-traumatic winning, which echoes in my life every day. And so my life fundamentally changed by September 11th. First, General Furness and General Kennedy, both lieutenant colonels, both planners at the 1st Marine Division, they called me and said, "Hey, are you still in the Marine Corps?" So, you know, I came back on active duty and deployed in 2004. So that was the first big change in my life. And then I went back two more times. But because of that exposure, you know, because of the exposure that my family had to my service, to my friends, right? Both my sons joined the Marine Corps. Fundamentally changed their lives. You know, my oldest now a captain at Fort Benning, going to school. Married with a son, and living the life of a Marine officer. Were it not for September 11th, I don't think he, you know, probably be doing something, maybe running the chef's old restaurant up in North Dakota. And then my second son, it fundamentally changed my second son's life. He's now engaged. He would have never met the woman he's engaged to, who just had a birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to Sarah. He would never have met her had it not been for that. You know, I'd certainly still be up in North Dakota living life. And so, you know, you look back on today and how it reverberated through the nation, how it reverberated through the day, that day, the uncertainty of who did this, who, you know, who would do such a thing, who did this, and you know, how that echoed in through the day, and then slowly but surely the news came out, you know, and as soon as it happened, I don't know if you've seen different specials, but people that had Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda on their radar, they knew who did it. As soon as it happened, he had threatened it. They'd had meetings on it. They knew that they were trying to do it. They knew exactly what happened. And then you saw the different stories of the fact that the CIA knew that there was people from that cell, guys from that cell in Southern California. They didn't tell the FBI so the FBI could track them because they were trying to turn them as sources. they thought they could do that, and then it happened. And the FBI points the finger at the CIA, saying, you know what? They're culpable. Their negligence is culpable for what happened that day. And so you see all that fallout. All that fallout. And even that day, I remember, at the end of the day, our church announced that sometime during the day that it would have mass at, I want to say at 5 or 6 o'clock, probably 6 o'clock. And, so we went, my family went, and, the church was packed. So, during times of uncertainty, you know, where do people tend to turn? And, they tend to turn, I think, inward. What's going to happen? And then really, the uncertainty of the day. How many people were in those buildings? You know, reports throughout the course of the day was that there were upwards of 40,000 people in those two buildings. And that nobody really knew the blood draws that were happening around the country and all of that. All these years later, you know, you reflect on that day. And I remember going on that day, and members of Congress from North Dakota came on the show talking about, you know, what would happen. You know, would the nation go to war? What did this mean? You know, and who could be behind something like this? And, interviewed first responders about, you know, when buildings fall, like let alone a buildings of those size. And again, we watched it live on TV. Just stunning. A stunning day in American history, akin to Pearl Harbor in our grandparents and our parents' lives, except that it unfolded live on television. We participated vicariously in it, watching it. And it was much more graphic than Pearl Harbor was. You know, Pearl Harbor, you see, what is it, Wheeler Airfield? You see the burning and you see people running up there. You know, the classic video is of the USS Arizona exploding. You see other video and pictures. Well, you see pictures of all kinds of stuff, but you see the classic pictures on the water, on the water side of the Arizona as it sunk. And so, you know, you see, but they're pretty sterile, although the violence is evident. They're pretty sterile, yay? I mean, September 11th was anything but sterile. And so, anyway, on that day, we remember, again, the people that that ran the other way. The people that ran the other way 18 years later. So, anyway, and still to this day takes your breath away. I remember the first time I saw that. I had taken Patrick, I want to say it might have been 2007. We went to go see the Yankees play. And so I took he and a friend. And I remember looking into that hole. If you've never seen it, to see it at ground level, I mean, it was huge, huge hole. City blocks, New York City blocks hole. You know, and I just remember my thought that day was, you know, these people didn't do anything to anybody. All they did was show up for work. And this is how their life was ended. And I just remember, so 2007, I'd already deployed to Iraq twice. And you know, the hate you feel for the people that kill innocent people, I don't know that I can rightly describe that. And you know, and when General Mattis says it's fun to kill some people, that's who he's talking about. And they need to be killed. The people that take the lives of innocent people are garbage. And they need to be killed. with impunity by the free nations of the world. Because that's just, it's just innocent women and children, old people, they're not combatants. All they're doing is shopping. And some way, shape, or form, that advances your cause. It's just gross. And so I remember looking into that hole, seeing it for the first time in person, and just thinking that, you know what, the only thing that I feel good about is that I've, you know, in some way, shape, or form, helped kill people that are affiliated with these people. Because other than that, it's just a shit feeling, staring into that. So, anyway, on that, anyway, just different, some random thoughts of, you know, and then looking back on all the mistakes the nation has made since then. And somehow or other, the United States has got to find a way to stop making those kind of mistakes. If you're a world leader, you cannot make those kind of mistakes. And the more I read, the more I listen, the more infuriating it is, because it was simple arrogance. It's an arrogant nation. Arrogant people in the Bush administration. So, anyhow, on that note, good morning. I'm glad to see that I'm already getting shithole weather updates. I tell people about how cool it is that how cool it is to live my life these days. And let me read you an email I got this morning at 4:57 a.m. Pacific time. Mac, just wanted to take a minute to thank you for both reconnecting me to the Marine Corps and for what you do with post-traumatic winning. A month or so ago, a contact on LinkedIn posted a link to your podcast of General Mattis on discipline. At the time, I had no idea All Marine Radio even existed. I've been listening to your podcast ever since. I truly enjoy the Lynch and Kenny segments, as they were my instructors at IOC. God help you, by the way. Thank you again. Please keep doing what you were doing. You're making a difference. Semper Fi, Tom. That stuff bombs into my inbox on a regular basis, and pretty cool. And had it not been for September 11th, none of this would have happened. So, again, I think one of the lessons of post-traumatic winning is there's nothing you can do about what's in the rearview mirror. The only thing you can affect is what's in the windshield. So affect what's in the windshield. And I think that's what this endeavors to do. That's the lesson of our culture. Of our culture, our Marine culture that's dealt with trauma forever. Right? Since the morning the first drunks woke up and said, I'm in the what? No, I was just in that tavern last night. What do you mean I signed something? Marine Corps? What? How many years? Going to sea? No, you got the wrong guy. Oh, yeah, that is my signature. Yeah, ever since the first Marine signed up, the Marine Corps has been dealing with it. So again, I think that just simply the existence of All Marine Radio is a tribute to the way our culture deals with trauma, and that is to square up to it, look it in the face, and try to find some way to beat the shit out of it. Now, it doesn't always work like that. A lot of times, you know, we get the shit beat out of us. But I think, I can tell you this, we found a way to win. And I like that. All right. Gret Newsham's going to join the program this morning in about 39 minutes. I've got some audio I want to play that I want to do color commentary on, which you know I love to do. And it's about China. It's from yesterday. I was watching Neil Cavuto, who I enjoy. Kind of funny. Doesn't take himself too seriously. But he's a smart guy, Neil Cavuto is. And so he has this guy who's a billionaire named Tom Fisher. He's a writer. He's an investor. I don't know a whole lot about him. But he started talking about China and China's economy. And I thought it was very, very interesting stuff. So I'm going to play that to you and then and do some color commentary on it. So with that said, and then we'll talk about Grant. We'll talk. Stand by. I can do this. We'll talk to Grant about Afghanistan first. And this is going to be one of the subjects of the Lynch McKinney event tomorrow. Two questions for those two geniuses. One, more money, more money, more money, more programs, more programs, more programs, more suicide. Why? What isn't happening? What's going wrong? Okay, relative to suicide in the U.S. military. Second question is, what now in Afghanistan? Talks have been called off, and we know everybody knows that's a temporary thing, right? Just like North Korea. Yeah, they're done. Yeah, they're on. Okay, so the president's message sending to the Taliban, much like he's done with the Chinese, right? I don't need to sprint to a deal with you. The American economy is fine. Yours is not. And maybe you should marinate in it for a while. So anyway, and then the second question is, what now in Afghanistan? So I won't bother Grant with the you know, question about suicide, but I'll ask that to Grant before we talk about the Pacific, before we talk about Hong Kong, before we talk about the Chinese economy, and some of the things Grant's written here in the last couple of weeks. So we'll talk to him. So good morning to you. It's not too late to get your shithole weather in. Montana man just weighed in. So what's up, angry boy? He's not happy these days. You know what? He's probably over it. He's up there. He's struggling with his leadership of the interns, and which the interns are gone, so he's back to peace and quiet, right? Living the peaceful life of a farrier. If you don't know what a farrier is, you could look it up, or you could listen to me say, I think the dude does horseshoes. Yeah, he's a horseshoer guy. And he's got a ton of business. So if you ever ask him about it, he's like, oh, my God, I'm busy all day long. I don't have time to talk to you assholes. Yeah, that's what we get. I'm under horses. Well, that's a great place to be. Congratulations. So, so you got time to get your time and temperatures. Not time and temp. Your shithole weather update. So, United States Marine Corps Band. On this September 11th, the 18th commemoration of a day that will live in American history forever in infamy. You know what? And before I play the national anthem, I just want to say, fuck those guys, you know? This country bows to nobody. And I say that with all the pride of everything that I've done, that my friends have done, and how proud I am of what we've gone to other parts of the world to try to do, which is to try to help. And to the people that would do this nation harm, fuck you, and fuck those guys. We'll be right back. I just got this text message. Really, dude? Are you going to pay for this keyboard that I just spit my coffee onto? I sure as fuck hope so. On a very separate note. Boom, motherfucker. Exactly. This is dedicated to all the memories, all the people that were died that day, all the people that ran to help people, all the people that have subsequently died because they went down there to help on that toxic pile of rubble in the middle of Manhattan, to the courage of Americans, to the spirit of a country that was founded on fuck you, right? Which is the Declaration of Independence. My favorite document in American history. To include the first use of the fuck you font by John Hancock. And, yeah, if you don't know what font Hancock wrote that in, yeah, figure it out. That's the fuck you font. And so, to the incredible spirit that is America, right, from the eastern coast as you drive, right, through the eastern seaboard, into the center of the country, right, as you get west to the Rockies, that people walked to get across when we settled it. They walked. That's how they got here. To the Rocky Mountains, to the Sierra Nevadas, to the coast, to Alaska and Hawaii. This is the greatest country that's ever existed on the planet. It's the only country that ever goes to war and turns around and gives you your country back and goes home. Nobody ever did that, right? The Brits did it to conquer. The Romans did it to conquer, to create an empire. The United States doesn't do that. And so in that great spirit that you saw, which is people helping people, people coming to the aid of other free people, which is the spirit of this country. So this is dedicated to that. It's dedicated to them. It's dedicated to those who gave their lives to it. And not only on September 11th, but in the fights that have occurred since then, it's dedicated to them too. Because this shit started all of that rolling. So to that spirit, to that selflessness, to that courage, this is dedicated to that.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
during firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that little paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time for the weather here. Sunny in 84 in Quantico. I'll be there next week. Yeah, I fly out Monday night, get in Tuesday morning, and do the Modern Day Marine Expo. Yeah, main side of Quantico. So get to see my son Patrick and his fiance, the lovely Sarah. And then get to see my nephew at the basic school, Johnny Boy. So get to see him and then all my friends. So they're in Quantico. So always a good time. The weather can dial itself down though. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune down the coast, sunny and the same temperature, 84. Don't see that very much. Across the country in 29 Palms, sunny and 71. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, clouds and 67. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 79 degrees. Camp Butler on Okinawa, dark cloudy and 80 degrees. In El Ambar, it is evening. It is clear. It is 96 degrees. So maybe fall coming to... the Al-Anbar province, and it is dark, clear, and 89 in Afghanistan in the city of Marja, the home of All Marine Radio, partly sunny and 68, looking for a high today of 78, 83 tomorrow, and 88 on Friday. Come on, man, we don't need that. All right, now for shithole weather. In the great city of Vacaville, it's currently a mellow 56 degrees, calm and sunny. The high of 91 degrees is on tap today. Have a great day. Big day in Vacaville. He's like on it. Montana man. 20 miles southeast of Big Timber, Montana. Steady rain, 49 degrees, and winds from the north at 10 miles an hour. Hell, that's straight up winter, man. Not for Montana, it's not. It would be winter here if that was going on. But Montana getting some seriously fall weather. So that's all I got today. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to play some audio from a guy named Ken Fisher. Pretty interesting insight into China. And so we'll talk about that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. And then Grant Newsham coming up in about 35 minus 8 in about 27 minutes. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warriors Radio Network.
So, what was it, Monday or Tuesday? Colleen gets her... It was Tuesday. Probably yesterday, after I got off the air. She got a driver's license on Monday. So I get a text message, Dad, which I hate. If you have a question, ask me. Ask a question. Dad? So now I have to respond yes before you, like, say something? So anyway, I put an end to that yesterday. I got issues. I got issues. No weather update from Saskatchewan this morning. Which is, right, where Bev lives is 1,852 miles northeast of me. Yeah, there you have it. No, if you could figure out where Minot is, which is north central North Dakota, I think that reference is the best. Anyway, back to Colleen. She said, can I take your truck and drive to my volleyball game today? And I said, there's a bus, yes or no, that goes to the game. She said, well, yeah. I said, get your ass on the bus, you dope. Have you lost your mind? Like, what the hell? Anyhow, Oh, I thought I would ask. Oh, did you? Okay. Well, I thought I would answer. Right. All right, Ken Fisher. So, this is Neil Cavuto and Ken Fisher yesterday on, what's it called, Neil Cavuto, something like that. Here he is.
How would you like...
Cavuto's, he's kind of snarky, I think funny guy.
If you left the top position in the administration and the market source. There is no connection. The Dow is up about 74 points, despite the fact, or maybe just oblivious to the fact, that John Bolton had left as National Security Advisor in the administration. But it's a kick in the pants on the way out, in a way. Billionaire investor Ken Fisher, very good read, a contrarian read of that. Whatever you think of the markets, he zigs when they zag, and he's put together a few bucks doing that. Multi-billionaire. Good to see you.
Great to be with you, Neil. Always is. It's always fun.
It's same here. Do you look at market impact or something, an event like this, and that, you know, oh, it's showing craziness going on at the White House. It's all disarray. Sell, sell, sell. What do you think?
So for how long has the White House seemed to have a lot of volatility associated
good
with
point.
It? What
very
else
good
is new?
Point. Good point.
How has life gone on since that started? I don't see this as very different. I don't worry about John Bolton. He's going to find a job, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Things will be fine.
So for the markets looking at all of this, and then you see poll figures that come out today, the president's approval number, that's despite a pretty strong economy and pretty good markets within just a stone's throw of all-time highs again, that doesn't jive, does it?
No, but in reality, markets are a little bit like the snake charmer. The market's the snake, the charmer's the economy, and you don't really want to be watching either. You want to be watching the crowd. And really what you're talking about is that the crowd's not terribly charmed by the snake charmer right now. If you think about it a little differently, sometimes they warm up and the economy has to get the snake dancing a little differently. And that happens. I'm not overly optimistic about the market in the short to intermediate term.
What's short to intermediate?
Well, the next 6 months.
Okay.
Pretty often in this period of a presidential election year in particular, you get 17 people bashing the president and bashing each other,
right.
And you get rising uncertainty from that, which often makes the market move forward but hesitatingly. The world's not that bad, but there's an awful lot of focus on the negative. And I don't
but know the markets, I think you've written extensively on this, tend to lead.
Yes.
And what are they telling us now?
And so what I would expect to happen is that as we move through that period of winnowing the Democratic nominee down to one or a couple, that that uncertainty fades, markets lead that in advance, and as you move sort of toward the end of the year, we get rising market. But in the short term, it could be choppy.
All right. China, everyone talks about China. They've made a effort today or a promise, we're told, to buy more agricultural items from us. You said something interesting about this writing a couple of days ago. I still think this, referring to the China situation, is less about economic policy than pre-election grandstanding and North Korea.
Sure.
But what did you mean by that?
Well, in the beginning, and actually I spoke about this with you as it was...
This is really interesting, the linkage that he draws between North Korea and China. And some of the statistics he throws out, I didn't know. It's pretty amazing.
Happening real time in 2018. The fact is, every time Trump would want to try to open the relationship with North Korea, Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm. and it would blow up, he would up the tariff function, Kim Jong-un would go off to Beijing, there'd be a lot of powwowing, and then...
So you think those two are tied up?
Oh, I absolutely. If you look at the timing of Trump's movements and the timing of Kim Jong-un's physical movements, remembering that Kim Jong-un never stepped foot out of North Korea from the time he became head of state until he hopped on the train in response to the tariffs against China. The fact is, Chairman Xi said, come here, little Kimmy, come here, I want to see
you. Do you think he's calling the shots here?
I absolutely believe that the relationship that exists, there's no reason for North Korea to exist as it does. This is a country with less paved road miles than a small town in America, in the whole country. This is a very poor place spending money on nuclear.
Did you hear that? North Korea has less paved roads miles than a small town in the United States. It's amazing.
To this trade thing.
It's China's ankle biter against America.
Well, will we have a deal before the election, do you think?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. Let me say that if I'm Trump, and I've said this to you before about other things, including the Mexico tariffs and what have you, sometimes Trump caves on a little agreement. Sometimes he waits for more later.
So there's
going to want
to
something.
Penn
he's going to want
a method to what he's doing. It's not just...
Trump told you when he wrote his book eons ago, you start off acting like a crazy man, you act big, they offer you a little, and you decide you want to settle for it. And sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. I can't predict President Trump. I don't try to. The fact of the matter is he's got something going on in his brain that he wants to accomplish. Will he?
But you almost make it sound like it's all orchestrated. You wrote, memories are short. If Trump got his big win now on trade, you're talking about trade.
Oh, yeah.
Folks would forget it before
oh, yeah.
the election.
Oh, yeah.
So he would have to stagger it to close to the election a year from now.
And if you get too close, he loses his power, too, because if you get too close, China then says, let's wait it out and see if he's still there. We don't lose much by waiting.
You think
so,
it's a summer
so it's a
of
tricky,
20 event?
It's a tricky function, but I revert to my point that fundamentally America is a country that takes things for granted. Once we get it, we assume it was always there, and it's just on to the next. We're a kind of an impatient, on to the next culture, and that's good and bad all in one. But the fact is that Trump, who is, despite all of his critics' criticisms, he's in things political, as you pointed out earlier in the show today. He's been very crafty in his 2016 election, pulling off something that no one had ever done before.
And he might be doing it again.
And he's always got some plan there. Whether it'll work or not, I don't know.
Well, he got odd praise, kind of, from George Soros, the billionaire investor,
sure,
who likes his stance and thinks it's his greatest foreign policy achievement. He did warn, though, I think, in the context of those remarks, don't cave on Huawei.
Think of China in this way. If you look at...
Now, pay attention to this. This is I thought this was fascinating.
WeChat, their social media,
right,
can't sell it for beans outside of China. Look at the Chinese exports of other tech products. They're about this big. Alibaba outside of China staggers.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, all of that comes because the China system is based on censoring. There's only one Chinese source of media that does not appear to be censored, which is Caixin, where I write monthly. I'm one
of a
handful of Westerners that write there. And the fact of the matter is that if you're going to have that control system, you really have a hard time selling on the outside. Look at the Chinese-originated semiconductor export market. It's tiny. In this world, semiconductors are to this world what steel and electricity were to the 19th century, maybe even steam. But the fact of the matter is, if you think about it, semiconductors are not new tech, but they're fundamental building blocks. They're the bricks that we make everything out of.
Are they in peril if we don't settle all this stuff?
As George Soros points out quite correctly, Huawei has tremendous difficulty if they can't buy American tech products.
Right.
We are stronger because we are America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. We are the tech dominant force in the world. Look at tech market cap by country. You have a hard time finding tech of any significance in a market cap basis outside of our wonderful country.
When you talk about 5G and all this late,
we don't look at our country like that, right? And we don't look at China like that. Right, that China has, you know, you read Alibaba, and you read, the Amazon of China. It can't go anywhere else, right? And as we talked about this, and we talked about it with Grant, right? That's why they can't make these agreements with the United States. It destroys that system. Now, let me just tell you this: what I believe in my heart of hearts is, the free nations of the world have to at some point stand up to China and say, hey, if you want to trade with us, you have to stop doing this. And they have to do that collectively, because there's only one nation on the planet that can do it individually, and that's us. The rest of the little urchins are dying to get in to the Chinese market, and that's how China believes it can dominate the globe, and it can rewrite, right, a rules-based order that it has existed on the planet. They believe they can rewrite it, right? That they can rewrite the rules of the South China Sea. That they can draw a 9-dash line wherever the fuck they want to. And everybody else will just eat it because everybody else wants a piece of their demand. Everybody wants to sell into China because that makes a lot of boats rise. And what they do is they take their gaff. Right? For those of you that are fishermen, you'll know what I mean. For those of you that are not, picture a hook duct taped or roped, right, tightly roped onto the end of a, let's say, I'm going to make it a garage implement. So let's just say it's the wooden piece of the shovel, right? You've taken the metal part of the shovel off the end, and instead, you've taken a hook, a big hook, and you fixed it to the end of the rope of the wooden spade, although it's not a spade anymore, the wooden pole. Okay, I think that's, fishermen call that a gaff. China, right, puts that gaff into your sternum, hooks it through your chest, right, and then pulls it back out. Once they get you hooked on their demand. And that's how they think they're going to refashion the world. And that's how that's what they do. But I find this is about another 4 minutes. I find him very, 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 very interesting.
And all the argument is that we go too far in this trade thing. We bequeath it all to China.
I don't know that's true. I don't know that's not true.
Really? Okay. I like when you're very honest when you answer questions. You mentioned about currency war fears and the fact that the president argues that we haven't felt the impact of these tariffs because the Chinese devalued their currency, the yuan, and they have a big benefit here. You argue that these fears are as false as they come. What did you mean by that?
So, first, trying to grow your country by currency manipulation has never, ever worked. Try to find examples of places where it has. You can't. Secondarily...
And this race, then, where all these countries are devaluing their currency.
It's a race to the bottom. And how well are they doing compared to...
So if we're following that, Ken, by lowering...
That's a mistake.
Here, that's a mistake.
Now, mind you, I don't have a problem with the Fed cutting rates. I think almost everything the Fed ever does is, let's say, stupid.
Fed, right?
if it were up to me, I would do something that no one talks about. I would dump all of their long bonds and force the long rate up as much as they could to steepen the yield curve, to increase the spread between bank deposit rates and long-term lending rates.
Sort of saying, you dump a lot of bonds, you flood the market supply, you know, the price goes down, the yield goes up.
The yield goes up, and in doing that, you incent banks to lend. The whole Fed policy throughout this expansion has been to disincent banks to lend. And right now...
Now, I know that's a lot of economic shit that's over everybody's head, and everybody's eyeballs are like, Mac, I didn't sit through that shit. Okay.
To make them lend.
Because the corporate...
I got it. I hear you.
The banking is taking in short-term deposits as the basis for making long-term loans.
No, I understand that.
All right. The couple of shithole weather corrections. Two of them, as a matter of fact. Vacaville. It's 66 degrees in beautiful Vacaville. Calm, sunny, 91 degrees expected. All right. So if you're going to do a shithole weather, right, input, come on, get it right. Overcast. And 52 degrees Fahrenheit in Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, home of the quality assurance maven of all marine radio, Beverly. That's right. Beverly never been in the military, but she found all marine radio and listens every day. And when I put something on the internet that's not right, she sends me an email and says, Mac, you've done it again. And she's been doing that for a long time. So, Bev. Yeah, I found that really interesting. You know, when we think of China economically, we think of this monolithic, right? And China is, you know, it's a big kind of bowling alley, right? That has defined limits to it. And it's limited by its totalitarian system. And so in terms of, you know, what it can export, it can only export. Imagine this. Imagine when other nations begin to develop factories and undercut China. Where does that leave China? Where does that leave the gaffe through somebody's sternum when I could go to India and buy it cheaper? Or when I could go to Sri Lanka and buy it cheaper than I can buy it in China? Interesting. So I just thought that was interesting. When you look at China, what do you see, right? What do you see? And then when you look at North Korea, what do you see? He sees North Korea as a China-sponsored boil on the ass of the United States. A distractor, a problem that is directed and subsidized by China, whether they will admit it or not. So, pretty interesting. All right, we'll stay on time. We'll take a break. When we come back, Grant Newsham's going to join us. So, don't touch that dial. We'll get Grant on here. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Wednesday edition, the 18th anniversary, or the 18th commemoration of the day that the World Trade Towers were attacked in New York City. So, mindful of that, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my commanding unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.